Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Paul Clay sitting in for Jess. Paul, welcome again, my brother. All right, we're going to get your audio up. Paul is here. Folks, I just wanted to give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about today. Remember yesterday with Father Frank Pavone, his letter to the bishops, and he quoted Canon 212 that says, basically, as lay people that are not bishops or priests, we should communicate our needs to our brothers, or to our bishops, and to the Holy Father, that the canon requires us to do that when we have concerns. Well, there's a Jared Johnson, a young man from Steubenville, wrote an article called Clarity at Last. And it's a very good article, and we're going to cover that. Also, we're going to be covering what's going on with hospitals around the country. They're hitting a breaking point. One of the reasons they're hitting a breaking point is because so many nurses and professionals are not wanting to get the COVID vaccine, so they're being let go. And so that's putting a very big strain on what they can do and they can't do. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Taliban and what they're doing to killing Christians. I can't even watch a video where they just execute people. But I also want to mention that I think all of us have a duty, especially the United States, to protect those who are protecting us. And, you know, in other words, these people that are in Afghanistan who have worked with us, with our government, seems to me that as a friend, if this guy sticks his neck out for you and now the tables are turned, his neck is being stuck out where he can be killed, I think we need to protect them also. So we're going to talk about the morality of Afghanistan and also give kudos to our U.S. bishops who are urging just what we said, the relocation of Afghans who are going to be murdered because of their loyalty to the U.S. government during this war. And, you know, Paul, I also want to just take this time. I know you're a veteran. I want to thank all veterans, every single one of you guys and girls who have served this country, because for 20 years, right after 9-11, they didn't have any attacks that we know of like 9-11. And I think it's a fair statement to say we pounded the bad guys in Afghanistan so that made it so that they were not in a position to do damage to us in America. So I just want to thank you for keeping us safe, Paul, and other.
Thank you for veterans. The thought, Terry.
No, it's a fact. I mean, let's be honest. The veterans are the ones. And to be honest with you, I would think some of the veterans are very, very upset. And we can talk about that when we get there. But before we do all of this, Paul, we always like to get some soul food in. And this is a short reading from Matthew chapter 23:23-26. But man, when the Bible says, woe to you, pay attention. So let's read that, Paul, and let's give your commentary on that.
Go ahead and read it,
Terry. All right, I'm going to read it. It says, Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. So here it is, weightier things, judgment, mercy, and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting others. And this is strong language. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup, so that the outside also can be clean. Hey, is this Jesus? Is this kind Jesus? You mean Jesus can also can rebuke people? That's you know, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Terry. Listen, it's almost like, you know, when you hear this gospel reading,
yeah,
all you need to do is be silent, because I would pray that every person who, remember, the Pharisees were the leaders of Judaism at the time. And, you know, we're living in a time also of great hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad to say, and no surprise, Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man returns, it was going to be similar to the time when he, during his first advent. And so I'm reminded that sacred scripture tells us that judgment begins with the household of God. So, I would just pray and ask that every person who is, who has a share in the ministry of Christ within our church, within the visible church, would just, pause and listen to this gospel reading and take it to heart, because Jesus, love corrects, the Bible says, and here Jesus is calling them out on their hypocrisy, and it's okay. Sometimes we are hypocrites, we're human beings,
yep.
But that's what we can repent, we can turn from our wicked ways. That's what God, he asks us to do, to, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven, Terry. And this is what we need right now. We need
Absolutely.
God to hear us and hear our prayers and to bring healing and restoration to our church. Why?
Man.
So that men might be saved.
Well said. And Paul, I look at the situation facing Catholics right now in 2021. And I know the book. I'm reminded of a famous quote from, which Scott Hahn used all the time. He said, Dickinson's book, A Tale of Two Cities, says, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. That's what we got right now.
Yeah.
So on one hand, our contemporary society has receded so far from the ideals of true Christian social order that it has been described by many as a post-Christian, and Catholics described by an American archbishop who was Archbishop Chaput as a book I read, Strangers in a Strange Land. Okay. Good book to read, folks. In addition, our beloved Catholic Church is undergoing her own particular trials and suffering. I would call it a purification, Paul.
Yeah, amen.
While it is too early to tell of all the implications of all the things that are going on, for many of us during this difficult time in history, it seems as if we have no refuge on earth to retreat to. Yeah, a lot of people feel like they're scared. But on the other hand, it's the best of times of each of us, because God chose from all eternity. Check this out. From all eternity to place you here now rather than any other time.
Yes.
It is the best of times for us to know, love, and serve God, to work out our salvation in his greater glory and fear and trembling, as the Bible says, because he's created us for this time. Paul Clay, Terry Barber, and our listeners, for this time, he calls each of us to be part of the solution to the difficulties and in our era rather than part of the problem. So here's, I say, the solution. I said it yesterday, Paul. What is the solution? We can only do this by uniting ourselves to Jesus Christ.
Amen. I'm reminded, Terry, as you read that, I was reminded of Isaiah when his whole world was falling apart. The king died and he didn't know what the, God, are you there? Are you on the throne? And he got that vision and he saw that I saw the Lord seated on his throne, exalted, high and lifted up. And the Lord said to Isaiah, though, he said, who will I send? And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Lord, send me. And we need to be like Isaiah, Terry.
Exactly.
We need to recognize the times and say, Lord, send me. Thank you, Lord. You sent me.
Paul, what you have is a world biblical view. That's what we need. Now, this is a question I asked yesterday. I'm going to ask myself every day, because I can be online looking at all the websites and reading and getting depressed. But here's the question a good priest said. How much time each day do we spend taking in the message of God compared to taking in the message of the world? Great question. Great question. God has not abandoned us. He is present in the tabernacles all around the world. He's present in our souls in the state of sanctifying grace. Do we take advantage of this Eucharistic adoration and spend time in mental prayer? That's the question I'm asking myself, Paul, you, everybody. He gives us his own mother to be our mother. So I just think that we have to focus on the supernatural. I think one of the problems we're going to be talking about is we talk too much about this world and not the next world. All right. Go ahead, Paul, your thoughts.
Before we get into that, I just wanted to thank you again, Terry, for being that shining example. I know that you say, hey, I'm doing nothing. I'm just doing my small part. But, like Paul, he said, follow me because I'm following Christ. And Terry, we have to sometimes set our goals a little lower.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to say I'm going to be like Terry because I feel like I have an opportunity to be more like you in that sense. And of course, you're saying because I want to be more like Christ.
Amen,
and that's what
man.
We do. We help each other.
Paul
yeah,
said, be
we help
imitators
each other.
Of me as I'm imitators of Jesus.
Yes.
Hey, we're not
yes.
going to get to Fulton Sheen until we come back from the break, but it's a good one. It really is. But I want to remind everybody, the conference is on the 18th on the St. Joseph. We got two great priests and my faithful bride talking on why St. Joseph is important in our lives this year of St. Joseph. Father Stephen Lovinsky is from Chicago. We got him flying in to give some really good talks on St. Joseph. Father Charles Murr, one of the great priests, the guy speaks like six languages, or he's really sharp, but he speaks the language of the people. You've heard him on the radio with me. We're getting him in from San Francisco. You get a chance to meet these guys. The way to register for it, though, is just go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. You won't regret going to this conference on St. Joseph, especially women who have not had good fathers in their lives. You want to hear what we have to say about St. Joseph. So join us by calling 877-526-2151 or go to vmpr.org to register for True Devotion to St. Joseph with Father Charles Murr, Father Stephen Lewinsky, and Mary Danielle Barber. When we come back, we'll start off with the smartest guy in the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. You won't want to miss his quote. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Paul Clay filling in for Jess Romero. We're a two-man car, as they say on Jesus 911. But I like to have fun. Can you tell, family? You know why? I really mean this, folks. I want you to come as a family member to come to hear any of our shows on Virgin Most Powerful, because I want them to not just to inspire you, in a sense, entertain you to say, I want to keep hearing these guys because I want to learn what these guys have been taught, because this is how we were taught by good priests, good lay people, formed well, and we just want to share that because you need good formation to survive in the world today. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. Here it comes. We got it. This is interesting. And Paul, I want your comments on it. Sheen says this: every other person who ever came into this world came into it to live. Think about that. Yeah, to live.
That's right.
But Jesus came into this world to die. Death was a stumbling block to Socrates. It interrupted his teaching. But to Jesus Christ, death was the goal and fulfillment of his life, the goal that he was seeking, atonement. Jesus came in to die, right, to open the gates of heaven that were closed because of original sin. This doesn't get any simpler than that. But I just wanted to quote that because, Paul, people need to know that we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. As we said in the first segment, Christ, St. Paul says, I'm imitating Jesus Christ. You imitate me, yes. But you see, we're all going to be imitating the life of Christ. So we all have Good Fridays in our life, but we also want to have that Easter Sunday. Because guess what, folks? Suffering is part of life. And when we unite our suffering with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world, then there's value in it. Remember another Bible verse? I'm sorry, I'm throwing Bible verses all over. Colossians chapter 1. He says this:
bring it.
I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. And so this is something that we as Catholics sometimes have lost the idea of redemptive suffering. So I just want to remind you of that. Paul, your take on what Sheen said about Jesus being born to die?
No, it's beautiful, Terry. And listen, he's right on point, because God is love.
Mm.
And and sacred scripture tells us that no greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
So Jesus, who God the Son, came into the world for the express purpose, for the specific purpose to love us to death. you know, to in order to redeem us. And that's Bishop Sheen is right on point with that. Terry, everything that you just said was it just speaks to who we are as Catholics. We have to remember that we have a purpose in life. God, you know, we're not here, wondering, you know, hey, why am I here? What am I doing? As emulators of Christ, he's invited us to come in and to join his suffering, to bring about healing and salvation, and for our fellow men. We are partakers of the divine nature now, in the sense that we, like you said, can join with Jesus in redemptive suffering in order to bring about great good and great love for our fellow human beings.
Yeah, and I think of what Sheen said about every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. That's why just cleaning your room, kids, can be meritorious. Yes, kids. And Grandma, you flipping those beads through your fingers and you're 90 years old and sitting on that chair, you are helping save the world because of your prayers and your sacrifices. And Mom and Dad, even doing your daily duty, you're sanctifying the present moment and offering it to God. You see, when you have this attitude of gratitude, you know what it is, Paul? You're not afraid of COVID-19.
That's right.
You know why? Because we have a supernatural outlook on life.
That's right.
And what I see here right now is too many of us in the world right now, fear is running the country. Fear.
Yep.
And what did the Bible say about trust? How many times? 365 times we have to trust Jesus. So fear is useless, is what the Bible says. So, Paul, I wanted to bring up a liturgy conversation because it's an old axiom that the church has talked about. The way you worship is the way you believe. And this Gerald Johnson, the young man, I mean, he's way younger than us, like 40 years younger, a graduate from Steubenville in Ohio. So he's a well-formed young man, and his title is Clarity at Last. It's from Crisis Magazine, which I think is a very, very good magazine. And Paul, I really want our listeners, because I got a segment and a half to cover. There's way much more. We could talk hours on this topic. But basically, first he talks about that if we believe, then we believe in the Lord's permissive will as well as his active will. Evil is permitted on the grounds that it will give rise to a greater good. He says this belief, though one of the most difficult in all theology, is also comforting one as we take a stock of a crisis. And what he was referring to, for a lot of people, it's a crisis when the Holy Father came out with this document regarding the Latin Tridentine Mass, basically saying that it's going to be limited where it can be said, and many people who have a great love for the traditional Mass, that causes them a lot of pain. And I've read enough, Paul, and I'm going to turn it back to you. A lot of people saying we offer this sacrifice of pain to our Lord because we love the Latin Mass. We've been going to it for a long time. And so how do we balance this, Paul, with the permissive will of God, that God permitted this, but for a greater good? So I'd like to hear your take, because, like I say, we have a segment and a half to cover, because I want to get to some other topics, but I think you have some really keen insights on this.
Thank you, Terry. Man, that's...
I set you up, brother.
No, it's good, because I encourage everybody, if they can get a hold of that article, to read it. It's definitely worth the read. Well, Terry, we have to remember that love involves a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And forced love, and I have said this before, forced love is rape.
Amen.
You know, God permits evil for the greater good, is what he says in the article.
Right.
And yeah, and a lot of times we wonder, like, why? We ask God, why, God, why? Well, for the greater good. For instance, God gave us free will. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God created us in his image, and God is love. And guess what? Love involves a choice. We choose love over hate. God is good, so we choose goodness over evil. You know, God allows evil, Terry, in the world so that, you know, number one, we can demonstrate and manifest love.
Amen.
The word of God, in this case, I'm referring to the written word of God. It says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It illuminates our path, provides direction for us. It gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's a fine line that as Catholics, Terry, I'm just reminded that we have to be careful not to cross. We must remember that, you know, Jesus is the sovereign king.
Yes.
And he's building the church.
King
of
kings.
Mystical body. And Jesus sent the apostles to preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Terry, it's a kingdom. It's not a democracy.
Right. Well said.
We can't make the mistake to think of it like that, because if we do, we become no different than like a Protestant.
That's right.
We must remember that the Holy Father is the vicar, a representative of Christ.
That's right.
He's the visible head of the church.
Yep.
His job is to help provide clarity for the faithful, to defend and protect Catholic teaching, and to safeguard the deposit of faith.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Father's mission is.
Amen.
When his actions are not consistent or seemingly not consistent with that mission, the mission whom he's been entrusted to by who? By God. We have to notice God placed him there, Terry. You know, as members of the kingdom, we didn't elect him. Therefore, God is the only one that can remove him.
Amen.
And believe me, God can remove anybody anytime he commands.
Yep.
Yep. We must first and foremost pray for him, Terry.
Yep.
Just as our Lord, who, when in the Gospel of Luke, when he prayed for Peter, he prayed that Peter's faith not fail. Peter was the first pope. And so we have to remember, I like to think of it in military terms. They say that, you know, the Pope would be a high value target.
That's right.
For course. The enemy.
Of course.
And we have to remember what sacred scripture says, Terry, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with, so as much as we might like to think like, oh, this bishop did this or this cardinal did this, we have to remember, like us, they are all on the path and on the journey. And at any given time, that's why, you know, like when you hear about the parable about, the sower who planted the seed, he said, didn't you give us good seed to plant? Well, there's tares among the wheat. Well, should we separate them? No, let them grow up together.
Yep.
Come harvest time, then we will separate the weeds from the wheat. You see, at any given point, Terry, we might, in our growth, we might look like a weed.
Yep.
But God's not finished with us.
Nope.
And in the end, come harvest time, that will be the determination if there was fruit, if the fruit was produced. And that's why, you know, we can't judge too prematurely. But at the same time, we have to remember, we know about the sacred deposit of faith. We know what good Catholic teaching is, and we have to have the courage and the boldness to call it out when we see something that's inconsistent with what we know that God has taught, no matter who it is that's teaching it, Terry.
Absolutely.
We just have to remember a couple of guidelines, and one of those guidelines is that we do it in a spirit of love, right?
That's right. Well said, Paul. Well said.
Yeah.
Well, I want to jump in when you said something about love. I think of the little flower. She said, she goes, to pick up a pin for love can convert a soul. Do we really believe that? I do. How powerful our actions have. He says, it is Jesus alone who can give such value to our actions. Let us then love with all our heart. And I think of that right now when the church is being wounded by, confusion, just like the world right now is being confused by so much. That we hoi polloi guys, you know, we're not management, Paul. We're the little guys here.
No.
Our prayers, our sacrifices, our listener sacrifices can do more for the church. And this is basic teachings of the church than if you went out and, did so much, 20 years of penance. No, doing your daily duty. Our Lady of Fatima talked about the daily duty as part of the Fatima message. So we're talking about the liturgy, the way you worship is the way you believe. When we come back, we'll talk more about this and much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't forget, if you didn't sign up for that conference on the 18th of September on St. Joseph, there's still time to do it. Call us at 877-526-2151 or go online to vmpr.org. We'll be right back, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Paul Clay filling in for Jesse, and I can say it for Paul. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Paul, I want to set the stage here. On this article, they talk about custodian of traditions. This is a document that a motu proprio that the Pope put out a couple weeks ago. Everybody's been talking about it, and I just wanted to give a little background of the author who actually influenced Pope Francis to come out with this document. His name is Andrea Aguirillo. He's an Italian. He was born in 1961. He's a professor of sacramental theology and philosophy of religion at the Pontifical St. Anthony's in Rome. And what is his key, his authority on speaking on is liturgy. And gentleman, Professor Andrea Grillo, has been putting out his opinion is that the traditional Latin Mass needed to go. So he's basically been saying a lot of things about St. John Paul II and Benedict XVI that they really did nothing when it came to the liturgy with their mentality of trying to point out liturgical abuses, which I disagree with the gentleman. But he also says something that I find offensive, just because I'm a layman too, trying to ask. His comment about the teaching of transubstantiation, and again, for those who don't know that big long term, that just means how the appearance of bread and wine turns into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So the church came with this term saying that it's under the appearance of bread and wine, but it actually transforms into the body and blood of Jesus. So his comment is that this explanation doesn't work anymore because it contradicts metaphysics. Sounds like a pretty smart guy, but not really. This is the kind of guy that I pray for, that, you know, that his superiors would actually remove, because he also openly puts, now all this is on the internet that he proposes, letters, he's promoting blessings of homosexual couples, he's all for female ordination because he's a liturgist. And, you know, I make my jokes, we know what the difference between a liturgist and a terrorist is? You can negotiate with a terrorist. Liturgists are very one mind, so most of the liturgists I've met, they're very, you know, stick on how they're going to do things. Now, he's also putting out that we should have contraception, so he denies the teachings of Humanae Vitae, and he's also against the permanency of marriage. So, I mean, this guy doesn't sound Catholic to me. He sounds like someone who's wanting to change the church. Now, that's the guy who set the stage. Now, again, how does God permit someone like this, to influence the Holy Father, and how is good going to come from it? Watch, it will happen. Because think of this, and I'll throw it back to you, Paul, but think of how God allowed the things that are happening, even in Afghanistan, the murders, the rapes that are going on. How's God going to bring good out of this? World War II, all the evils in people's lives that were lost. Well, I'm going to say this, that in spite of this professor, we're going to see good come from this document that he influenced the Pope, even with, you know, condemning the basically saying no more Latin. And I just want to throw one more thing out at you, Paul, then I'm going to throw it to you. There was a priest in Costa Rica this week who said the Novus Ordo Latin Mass, the Mass that I just went to an hour and a half ago here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we have of every Tuesday and Wednesday at 9 a.m. And this priest said the Latin Novus Ordo Mass, which is the Mass of Vatican II, and his bishop took him out, he took his faculties away. For 6 months, he sent him to a camp to try and reprogram him. Now, Paul, that sounds like that's a made-up story, but this is how crazy things have gotten with certain bishops in the church. And again, Am I going to run away because of Judas's? No, I'm going to stay put and I'm going to live out my faith. But Paul, I want to ask you, because you have seen, and we've talked a lot at length, more than what this hour of radio is on the phone, about how God brings good out of all of this. And I like your point about the Holy Father. That he's to confirm us in our faith, basically, you know, to teach, govern, and sanctify. That's what bishops are there for. And I want to throw one last thing, and then I'm going to throw it back to you, that every Thursday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we pray for not only the Holy Father, but we pray for all priests and bishops for 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament. So when I express my needs, as Canon 212 says, to my superiors, the bishops and the Pope, it's out of love and devotion and for the salvation of souls. Because as Fulton J. Sheen says, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls are not saved, nothing is saved. So I want to let you, Paul, because I heard you before on the phone, talk about how we should understand the situation of the church with a supernatural view.
Well, Terry, let me back up to what you said first when you okay. read that letter.
Yeah.
A couple of things. Number one, and what do I know, right? I'm just a little guy in the pew.
Sure.
But isn't Latin the official language of the church?
Last time I looked, yep. The answer
That's the last I heard it was. And in the Roman Rite, since the Latin is the official language, why do we have such animosity towards the Latin Mass?
Good question.
That's one of those things that just causes me to just wonder. Like I never even thought that this day would happen. As a matter of fact, Terry, I think I shared with you that I actually went to a Latin Mass this weekend.
That's right.
And I was, number one, once again, reminded of the beauty of the Latin Mass and the reverence that was directed toward God. And I didn't see anything that was in opposition to the once delivered faith to the church. It was beautiful.
Yep.
So I don't understand how people can, assume that somehow, people who tend to be drawn to the Latin Mass or causing animosity within the church. I don't know how to make that connection.
Right.
I've even heard Jesse say that during exorcisms, the one thing that came out is that that the demons hate Latin.
That's right.
They hate Latin. So I don't know. I was just always taught that Latin was a good thing. But the author also said something about Terry. Well, this violates metaphysics. That's why transubstantiation, is an explanation, but it's lacking. Well, when Jesus passed through the walls in the upper room, didn't that violate metaphysics?
I love it. I love it.
When Philip was somehow transported into the presence of the Ethiopian eunuch, there's no natural explanation for that, Terry.
Yeah.
Along with all the miracles of Jesus.
Yep.
They all violate metaphysics. And guess what? God is not limited to physics or metaphysics. He's not limited. God, that might be the natural way that he's set up for this world, but at any given time, God can go beyond that. He's not bound by those things. He's not bound by the laws of nature. This modernist, and that's exactly what I will describe him as, modernist.
That's right.
He's just infected with modernist thinking. You know, these modernists that try to say, oh, there's no such thing as miracles, or they look for a natural explanation for every miracle. Well, some things can't be naturally explained, Terry. Why? Because they are supernatural. St. Augustine said the finite can never comprehend the infinite.
Well said.
So, yes. Transubstantiation is the word that the church coined to describe what was taking place. But ultimately, we know the finite can never, never comprehend the infinite. We can apprehend it. We can say, well, this is clearly what the Bible's teaching, but we don't fully understand it. Why? Because if we could, we'd somehow be greater than God or at least his equal. But guess what? We can never understand the things of God. God, we just simply humbly take what God reveals to us, just like children, when a parent explains something, you know, in the simplest terms to try to communicate to a child. That's what God's doing to us, and that's what he does through the saints. He communicates with us in a loving way, just as a father communicates with children.
Well, I think you nailed it when you said the supernatural, because I can tell you the Fourth Lateran Council is the one who verified that transubstantiation. The church has always taught it. But I would say this, that when you don't have the supernatural view of the Mass, where the Mass is a reenactment of Calvary, that we're present at that one eternal sacrifice, here's the point. You get 4 or 5% of the population to go to Mass when it's just like going to the movies, or it's any other event.
Yep.
It's nothing supernatural. Why go? And I want to say, case in point, look at Italy. This professor has taught most of the archbishops and bishops in Italy on the liturgy. And you look at who's going to the masses. And France is a good example. Same thing. There are very few people, like 4%, 3% of the people. And are you ready for this? Most of them are people going to a Tridentine Mass in France. More people go to the Tridentine Mass in France than to the Novus Ordo in English. And so,
yeah, so if you take that away, Terry, and what's left?
but that's my point, that the reason is it's the supernatural outlook on what the Mass is. That's what we want to make sure. When kids know this, this is why 80% of the Catholics don't even believe in the real presence, because we haven't taught it clear enough. We have songs that say Jesus is in the bread and the wine. That's Lutheranism. We have to make sure what we're teaching to our faithful is truly not just sound, but the supernatural aspect of when we go to Mass, we're there at Calvary. How could that be boring? It's only boring when you don't know what's going on. That's like going to a baseball game and not understanding the way the rules are, how the game is played. So I would submit to you, Paul, and to our listeners, that most Catholics go to Mass, based on my experience of 42 years asking them about their Eucharist, that they're very lacking of catechesis. Paul, great article. You can get it from Crisis Magazine or go to our show page on the Terry and Jesse Show. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the hospital are hitting a breaking point because of their hiring and firing practices regarding COVID-19, and much, much more. Talk about what's going on in Afghanistan, and we need to be praying for those folks, too. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, folks.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I laugh because I get so many texts every time a break takes place. So if you want to text me, it's because I give my cell number, my cell number out to people, 661-972-7872. And I'm happy to respond. Sometimes I have to wait until after the show, but thank you for all your comments. Paul, this is a topic that I'm tying into regarding the unvaccinated workers. And I'm going to tie it into the military also, because you have a background in the military. You have a son in the military. And it's made it clear now that the military is being forced. I don't think they have an option now to, if you want to be in the military, you've got to be vaccinated. But this story first is about a hospital in Houston, a Methodist hospital. And this is happening in other hospitals, Catholic and non-Catholic hospitals, that they're getting to a breaking point. Because after firing 150 unvaccinated workers, it's put a huge demand on the workers that are still there to do the work. And so I'm just asking you, Paul, to comment, because it seems to me you worked with a huge group. It was the L.A. Sheriff's Department. I think there's 11,000 policemen. It's the biggest police force in the world or in the United States. It's huge. And can you imagine, whether it's a hospital, the police force, or even the military, if we get so many people to say, I don't want to be vaccinated, and they leave, wouldn't that take some serious damages, not only to the hospital,
but to the
military, to the police? So give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, my thoughts right away, Terry, is wasn't it just a few months ago, Terry, that the medical workers were being hailed as heroes. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. They were on the front line
Absolutely.
For us,
we were
risking
thankful for that. Yeah.
Life and limb. As a matter of fact, many of them did give their lives.
That's right.
Really, they gave their lives tending to people who had COVID-19.
Yep.
And this is how we repay them, right? Okay.
That makes sense.
We repay them by firing 150 of them because they, who are educated, more educated than the average person out there, have decided after looking at all the facts that maybe this vaccine isn't the best thing for my body. What happened to that old Democratic line, this is my body, Harry, they seem to forget about that.
Yeah.
For the life of me, I can't figure out what the logic is behind this and why this push so much on this vaccine. There has to be some logic behind it. Yeah. And it's more than just money, because this vaccine is being spread worldwide, Terry.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense that they would even put now, because they fired these people, the general public at risk, because now you know the workload is just increased to the people that are there, which makes them more prone to making mistakes and error, which opens the hospital up to liability. I mean, you could go on and on down the rabbit hole with this.
Yeah, we need to pray for these people. We need to pray that our government will put more common sense into decision making rather than being scared. Because I get that. Now, I'm not a conspiracy type person, but I also recognize what's happening here right now with this vaccine push is a reset of how we do everything in our life. I mean, we're hearing now you can't even in France go to grocery stores to buy their food. It seems that if we don't push back as a group in our country to say, no, we got to have freedom here. This is, what happened to the First Amendment? What happened to these amendments that give us freedom? You're usurping those away because of being frightened by this COVID-19. And let's be honest, Paul, the percentage of people, I've already done a little survey and I asked people, what do you think, how many people, what percentage of people who get COVID will die from this? I had people anywhere from 10% as the best and down to up to 50%, because that's the impression they've got. But the facts don't bear that, do they, Paul?
No, they do not, Terry. As a matter of fact, the chances of you dying from this are extremely rare when you look at everything. And unless you have some, there's a few people that seemingly had no conditions that, unfortunately they die and they haven't figured out why that is yet. But the large majority of the people, Terry, the large majority of the people will get this and experience either no symptoms or very light symptoms.
Yes.
This is, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but there are some, Terry, that have said that this platform that they want to bring about with vaccine passports is the same type of platform that they use in China to essentially, it's like a social report card.
Yes.
Are you being a good citizen? And essentially, so right now they can say, did you get your vaccine? Yeah. Which I thought that information was protected. Your medical information was protected, but apparently not.
Yeah. Everything's thrown out, Paul. Everything's thrown out.
But yeah, and that's what we're observing is that all our rights that were given to us under the Constitution, our right to worship, our right to, they've all been suspended under the guise of this so-called emergency. And where does it say that in the Constitution of the Bill of Rights, Terry? Yep. That these rights are only to be extended to people, in normal times, but under emergency times, all rights go out the window.
And Paul, I've noticed that it's hard for getting us to get the rights back once they take something away from us. They don't seem to give those things back even in time.
Yeah, Terry, that's the idea. But here's the situation. It clearly delineates that these are God-given rights.
Yes, amen.
Unalienable rights.
Right.
So if the government didn't give us these rights, then they can't take them away.
Exactly.
And that's what we have. That's what we have to go back to and remember.
Yeah.
These rights and freedoms that we have are given to us by God, and no man, no government can take what God has given to his people.
Yep, well said. Paul, we got a couple minutes left. I want to just get in the report regarding the Taliban that are raping girls, killing Christians. Our U.S. bishops have come out, the committee chairman, saying that we need to resettle thousands of Afghani citizens with special immigration visas, because these are the people who supported our 20 years being there to undermine the bad guys. And now they're going to be the bad guys for the Taliban. They're going to be executing these people because they helped America. And it would be like a friend who saved your life, Paul. Your friend saved your life, and now the tables are turned. And you go, I don't know the person. I'm out of here. And I see. And now, if that's not a fair analogy, correct me. But Paul, I want to thank all those men and women in our uniforms who kept the peace going. Paul, yeah. For a year and a half, we lost zero military yeah. personnel. Because yeah. we were keeping the bad guys out. Because what was happening, every time the Taliban got in, to some trouble with us, they were going to do something, we crushed them. And that's what President Trump's policy was, crushing the Taliban. And he did that. But as soon as we got a new administration in, look what's yeah. happened.
Well, Terry, can you imagine how the men and women in uniform feel? I mean, they were on the front lines yeah. receiving the help. And then all of a sudden now, the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
Promising, aid, promising assistance, and that assistance never came.
Yeah.
That's horrible. And I don't know how Joe Biden could look at himself in the mirror every day, knowing that there is truly blood on his hands. It was said that Hillary Clinton had blood on her hands. Well, Joe Biden now has a massacre. A literal massacre on his hands.
The only way I can see it from their perspective is if you can kill innocent life in abortion, killing yep. babies, then what's right. the difference of going and letting yeah. these guys die? It's a human life, but it doesn't yep. mean anything to them.
And it doesn't mean anything to them. And you're right.
And again, I'm going to say something about sin. It makes you stupid. When you're not living a world biblically view of life, living your Catholic faith, Joe Biden's a baptized Catholic. He's denied his faith, okay? So objectively, now I can't judge him. God will judge him, but I can judge yep. his actions. And Paul, yep. his actions are contrary to the teachings of Christ and his church.
That's
Therefore,
right.
he's being stupid.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they famously say, oh, who are you to judge? Well, first of all, let me tell you something. We're called to make judgments every day about our faith and about what's right and wrong. Okay, that's misleading to say, we don't judge. You know what we don't judge, Terry? We don't judge people to hell. We
exactly.
don't say, I'm absolutely sure you're going to hell because only God is the one who can, who knows that for sure. As a matter of fact, we need to be completely opposite of that, pleading and begging and willing to do anything to help prevent people from, allowing their ill-informed decisions to send them there, because
right.
that's where they're going to go. If they go to hell, it's going to be because of their own decisions, because of their own ignoring the truth about God, the truth about what the church teaches. And so, yeah.
Well said.
That's my take.
You got it, partner. Paul, thank you for joining us here, filling in for Jess, because, people listening right now are going, well, what can I do? What are my action items? I'll give you an action item. Live in the state of grace. Live and, like the little flower said, pick up a pen for love that can convert a soul, because
That's
it's
right.
Jesus alone who can give such value to our actions. Let us then love with all our heart. I think of the wasted pain that are in hospitals right now. People are watching the I Love Lucy reruns while they're dying of cancer to pass the time.
Yeah.
What they can be doing is uniting their sufferings with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. I think if I had one comment to make about the world right now, we have been told that this is it. When you die, you're done. So have as much fun and pleasure you can right now, but that's not a biblical worldview. The biblical view is that life is short and eternity is
that's right.
forever. Paul,
that's right,
your final
Terry.
Thoughts.
Yeah, final thoughts. Let's focus on what God called us to focus on, and that's to pray and to be faithful to the little things that God has given us to do. Amen. And that will make the huge difference, because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we think. Get your focus off the world and put your focus on God.
Amen. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland. I'll tell you, he's gonna be giving you some information on the faith that'll blow you away. One of the greatest bishops in the Catholic Church, up right after the Terry and Jesse show. Paul Clay, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace, my friend.
Amen. And if it's been a while since you've been to confession, make an appointment. Just call your parish. We're planning to have more confessions here at our chapel. And when I have the schedule up, I'll be letting you know. Yeah. So Saturdays at 3:30 and Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. We'd love to see you here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. May God richly bless you. And if you can't get the Bishop Strickland Hour, go get our free app on Virgin Most Powerful Radio's website. Download the app and you'll get them all. God love you and your family.